You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bucknutters, welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, July 26th, 2019. I am Dave Biddle. Very happy to be joined by Jonah Booker for his usual Friday visit. Jay Book, let's start off with recruiting. We'll finish the show talking about the current crop of wide receivers for the 2019 Buckeyes, even after replacing Terry McLaurin and Johnny Dixon and Paris Campbell. I still think this 2019 wide receiving core for the Buckeyes is very impressive. Let's start out on the recruiting front. Kind of three things to throw at you here all at once looking at this 2020 class. When you look at Bijan Robinson, the five-star running back, it looks really good for Ohio State to land him. When you look at high four-star all-purpose back Jalen Knighton from Florida, looks really good for the Buckeyes to land him. But it's starting to not sound so good as far as landing five-star corner Elias Ricks. Just what are you hearing about all that? And kind of break that down for me, if you would, sir.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you pretty much hit it on the head there, looking good for the first two guys, and things are starting to slip a little way with Ricks. We'll start with Robinson. I mean, all indications are that he's going to be a Buckeye. I know the Texas Insider on their 24/7 board pretty much waved the white flag. It came down to a Texas versus Ohio State battle, and it's very fascinating because you know, Ohio State fans are very familiar with Stan Drayton, and he's on the University of Texas staff with Tom Herman, as well as Tim Beck. And this is a battle here that Ryan Day and Tony Alford really took it to those Texas guys. The Texas fan base, they're pretty upset with the recruiting that's been going on with Stan Drayton. He really hasn't hit on his targets. In fact, it got to the point to where Texas needed Tim Beck to step in because things were starting to trend towards Ohio State way. And you have to give Tony Alford as well as Ryan Day a ton of credit here, going out west into Pac-12, the heart of Pac-12 country, and snagging the five-star running back, a guy who could be someone who steps on campus and vies for carry. Bijan Robinson is the type of guy that will make the safeties crowd into the box. But the beautiful thing about it is you have a dynamic wide receiver group that's coming in. So this offense has the potential to be outstanding. And then you look at Knighton from Florida. He's a guy that's being pegged as an all-purpose back. But if you put on his tape, he brings a little pop to his game. I really like what he brings to the table. Not only does he have the potential to be a home run hitter, but he's a tough son of a gun. He will run between the tackles if he asks him, and he just brings an all-around package. And the thing about those two guys, they really complement each other. Some people look at Robinson as also more of an all-purpose back because he has the ability to catch it out of the backfield. But anytime you can pair two dynamic running backs from different parts of the country who are really at the top of their game, it's a home run. But you mentioned Elias Ricks. Obviously, that was going to be a long shot there. I know our own Bill Curley was kind of bullish on that, how things would potentially turn in towards Ohio State. But the latest reports is that he's leaning towards sticking with LSU. Obviously, things could change. If you can get him up for a visit like things are planned for the Penn State official visit, then obviously things can change, especially when it comes to IMG kid. Those guys are definitely open to be recruiting. So you have to be very excited about the two guys that you mentioned with Robinson and Knighton, and kind of just keeping your fingers crossed when it comes to Ricks. To me, Ricks is just he's just kind of a cherry on top of a class. Once Ohio State lands Knighton and Robinson, it's going to push this class ahead of Clemson to number one. If you'd have told me first year under Ryan Day that his first full recruiting class would have been competing for the number one spot, you know, I'd have been doing cartwheels, and that looked like it's going to be the case. I don't think his class will stay at number one once some of those other schools, such as Clemson and Alabama, starts adding a little bit more to their class. But if you're talking top five, you're splitting hairs there.
Yeah, even Urban Meyer never finished with the number one class at Ohio State. Finished with the number two class three different times, finished with the number three class once, and frankly, at least two of those classes that finished number two should have, you know, been ranked number one. If they re-ranked those classes, they would have been number one. I'm talking specifically about, of course, 2013, you know, the crux of that national championship team in 2014, and then that 2017 class, I think, as well. If they re-ranked them, that would be the number one class in the nation. But, hey, number two in the nation is not bad, and I'm with you. I think, you know, at one point they're going to be ranked number one. Ohio State will in this 2020 class after they land Bijan Robinson and Jalen Knighton. But, you know, I think they'll end up finishing second or third, and that's still extremely elite.
Here's the beautiful thing about this class. And if you want to compare it to our rivals, Michigan, once they land Robinson and Knighton, that's going to give Ohio State 10 top 100 recruits in the 24/7 composite compared to Michigan's one. I mean, you talk about Ryan Day absolutely taking Jim Harbaugh behind the woodshed right now. He's slaughtering him when it comes to recruiting the top end talent. So you're mean to telling me that Ohio State is pretty much going to have 11, if you look at, you know, it's 22 guys on the football field, hypothetical, and you're going to tell me 10 of those guys on Ohio State's side is going to be top 100 compared to Michigan's one? If I'm looking at that, I'm looking at a huge talent gap between Ohio State and Michigan. This is supposed to be the time when Michigan makes their run at Ohio State, but Ryan Day is coming in here giving Jim Harbaugh that Dikembe Mutombo finger and telling him not in my house.
Not up in here you don't. And, you know, he said it's crazy because you're right. I mean, I'm sure every Michigan fan was thinking, okay, now's our time to get them not only on the field but certainly on the recruiting front. And it's the complete opposite. It's just Ohio State's just blowing Michigan out of the water. And the rest of the Big Ten, Michigan has this, you know, number two class in the Big Ten. It's not like they're recruiting terribly, but they're nowhere near Ohio State. I mean, you look at average player rating, it's not even close. I think Michigan, when it's all said and done, I've said this before on the show, you know, right now they're ranked eighth or ninth. They have the same amount of commits as Ohio State, 22, but I think Michigan will fall out of the top 10. I think they're going to finish like around 12th, maybe as, you know, as bad as 14th or 15th in this class, because I don't think they're really in on anybody else that's going to be able to boost them, whereas Ohio State's already way up there, and they're going to get more guys like Bijan Robinson that are going to boost their grade,
right,
and Jalen Knight and you know, maybe a few more. And people are wondering about, this transitions nicely to our next topic, people are wondering about numbers in this class. And, you know, there's one young man, and I, you know, I've said I want to be consistent. You can't teach 6'9", 350, and that's what Trey LaRue is. He's the lowest-ranked member of the class for Ohio State. Now there's talk, you know, that, you know, Ohio State could move on. Everybody's kind of just, you know, parsing their words carefully, but if you listen, for example, to what, like, Bill Green has been saying during his chats, you know, he's got to be careful what he says, but, you know, it's, you know, it's pretty easy to read between the lines that there's at least some legitimate discussion there, J-Book, about Ohio State's at least thinking about moving on from Trey LaRue. I'll just ask you, I mean, I don't know how much you've watched this young man's tape or anything, but could Ohio State move on from Trey LaRue? Should they move on from him?
I wouldn't necessarily jump the gun and say they should. Obviously, you mentioned you can't teach size, a 6'9 guy like that. He's extremely raw. He's going to be needed to coach up. They're really going to have to be patient with him. He's obviously going to be a first candidate that you look at as far as getting a red shirt to try to get him stronger. He's going to need to really work on his footwork. The thing that is going to be key for him is he needs to have a monster tape coming up this fall season in order for Ohio State to really let this recruitment stick here. If he shows the progression that you want to see from Ohio State commit, then it's going to be something that you think about and you consider. He's an in-state kid, so obviously in-state kids are going to get the benefit of the doubt. But the thing about Ryan Day is he's a stone-cold killer. He does not mess around. Just because you're committed to Ohio State doesn't mean that you can rest on your laurels. So LaRue's going to need to come out there and absolutely just toss some bodies out the club when it comes to showing what he can do with that size. Obviously, he showed up to multiple Ohio State camps to try to get the coaching in. That's something that you want to see. You like to see a guy who wants to be coached up, and you can't teach size. If he can show that nastiness in a guy that they really think that can develop down the line, it's going to be questionable. But the other element behind the curtain is, do they have another high-profile guy that they think that can see the field right now that is not really on the radar as far as our recruiting analysts? Because if Ohio State is working something behind the scenes and they think that the numbers are going to get really tight, that's going to be a 50-50 call there. And Trey LaRue has an opportunity to really showcase that he belongs in his class, and if he does that, then it's going to make the decision pretty hard for Ryan Day and Stud and Pantone.
Yeah, and just one more thing before we talk about the current crop of wide receivers for the Buckeyes this year. You know, when you look at Trey LaRue, I wonder how much the staff is looking at it as, we already are taking somewhat of a chance on DeJuan Jones. Now, I really like the kid, you know, out of Indianapolis. So again, I can't teach 6'8", 360. And DeJuan Jones, you know, just from looking at, you know, he's just more athletic than Trey LaRue. You know, he's, you know, and I think he's more of a, just, you know, Trey LaRue, you can make the argument, I think some are, that, you know, he's a little bit out of shape. DeJuan Jones is just, as I'd say, he's just big boned. You know, he's just naturally that big. And he's got good feet. I mean, you don't play at the high level of high school basketball in Indiana, go and make the Indiana All-Star team and play against the Kentucky All-Star team and all that stuff if you're not a really, really good basketball player, and that means he's got good feet. So I love that they have DeJuan Jones as a true freshman this year, and they can most likely redshirt him and get him with Coach Mick. So, but I do want to ask you this. Do you think there's any chance that the staff's looking at it like, all right, we already have kind of one project on the offensive line of DeJuan Jones. Do we really want two projects, and maybe – could that be hurting Trey LaRue's stock?
I mean, it could be something that they talked about, but you would have thought that conversation would have took place long before they even offered Trey LaRue, because you already knew that DeJuan Jones was a guy that was going to need some time to develop. Obviously, you mentioned him on the basketball court, and I love DeJuan Jones being in his class. I think he has some swift feet for a big man. It's not often that you can see a guy just drop step and throw down dunks. He's a guy that is in shape. Obviously, his game needs to be coached up. Once you get him in the strength and conditioning room with Coach Mick, it's really going to help develop his body and cut some of that baby fat off of him. But I really love his athleticism. And the thing that really puzzled me, even just having the overall discussion with Trey LaRue, is I don't know why Ohio State was so willing to offer him early on. I think he was a guy down the line that they easily could have got after they saw how he developed his senior year.
Can I jump in real quick? I hear you, because this kind of leads into my point. I should have mentioned this earlier, Jay Book. I feel like that – right now, Ohio State is they just have crazy recruiting momentum. They have their mojo. They have everything you could want right now. They are just killing it. I think when they got Trey LaRue, they weren't desperate, but they didn't have nearly the momentum they have right now. And it was just a different time. Even though it was just a few months ago, and even though they already had DeJuan Jones, I just feel like maybe that was part of it. Right now, they're just killing it, and just a few months ago, they really weren't.
Yeah, and I understand that, but you know, that still doesn't alleviate the fact that he was always going to be a project kid. You knew you had Paris Johnson pretty much in the fold, and you had Weifler, who was another high-profile offensive lineman. So you knew you had two stud offensive linemen pretty much right there on the hook. Because Weifler, he was an Urban Meyer commit, and then Johnson also was pretty much committed to Urban Meyer, and they knew they had to re-recruit him after Urban Meyer was going to retire, and they still offered Trey LaRue fairly early in the process. To me, I thought Trey LaRue was a guy that they say, hey, we really like your game. We like your size. We still want to see how you're going to develop. Come to our camps, and we're going to monitor where you're at as far as your development come your senior year. What's the worst case scenario? Trey LaRue commits to Kentucky or something, and Ohio State is easily going to flip him back into the fold if they wanted to. But they offered him early. He committed. So it's going to be up to him to really prove the doubters wrong that he belongs in his class. If Ohio State is in a situation where they don't believe that they have another primetime player that's going to replace him, then they can obviously stick with him and see how things go. Especially, and the thing that you want to keep in mind is recruiting has changed dramatically within, I just say, the past year, because if guys aren't playing, that transfer portal is wide open for guys just to transfer out. So it also could be a situation where they want him in the fold to have some type of bodies, and they're going to be banking on stud getting those guys developed and potentially emerging down the line. Because they're going to need bodies, regardless of what people say. Everybody can't be a starter at Ohio State. Everybody can't be in it too deep at Ohio State. They need scholarship players to also fill out those practice squad in order to get live reps for the two deep. So they're going to need people there that necessarily don't believe they should be starting day one, which you see a lot of times with these high profile commits. With Trey LaRue, it gives them the luxury of developing him, because he's not going to be a guy that's going to be stepping foot on campus and believe, if I don't play within my first 2 years, I'm out of here.
Yeah, very well said all the way around. And I'm rooting for Trey LaRue. Again, you can't teach that type of size. I love linemen from Ohio. They always seem to overachieve. You know, you got guys like, we can just go, I'd leave 100 guys out. I'm not just going to start naming guys. But, I mean, we can just think of so many guys that, from Ohio that, maybe weren't the highest ranked recruits that ended up just being not just great players at Ohio State, but the NFL as well. So I'll be rooting for Trey LaRue. All right, to finish the show here, first of all, let me ask you, before we really get into it, let me ask you if you agree with this, Jay Book. So the top five wide receivers for Ohio State this year, in whatever order, KJ Hill, Chris Olave, Austin Mack, Ben Victor, Garrett Wilson. Would you agree those are the top five?
I agree with that. Obviously, if Austin Mack can have a bounce back year, I think it could be interchangeable between him and Ben Victor, because I think Ben Victor really came on towards his latter part of the season.
Yeah. In whatever order, those guys are like, because, Ryan Day said, I want a rotation of six or seven, at least six. So I look at them, okay, those five are locks if they stay healthy, just locks. And we'll see, maybe, Mack and Victor can have their breakout season as seniors. We see it all the time with Ohio State receivers. The light just comes on as a senior. Sometimes as a fourth-year junior, like D. Miller, back in the day, the light came on for him as a fourth-year junior. We saw it with Devin Smith as a senior. Light came on for him the national championship season. Everybody's thinking, everybody was down on Devin Smith coming into the year, and then boom, best long ball threat in Ohio State history by the numbers that year when you look at average yards per catch and touchdowns. All right, so here's what I want to get into. So they're going to need at least one more to fill that out the rotation, maybe two. So, and they've got, in my estimation, like five guys in the mix here. I'm going to get your thoughts on who might fill, the one or two other guys that might fill out the rotation here. So they've got Jalen Harris. I like him. I like C.J. Saunders. I like Jalen Gill. Jalen Gill's obviously an H-back. Elijah Gardner could be coming on. And the other guy I wrote down was Jameson Williams. He's a super long shot. He's a true freshman. Speedster, they'll probably redshirt him. But you look at those guys like Jalen Harris, C.J. Saunders, Jalen Gill, Elijah Gardner, even Jameson Williams, if you want to mention him. If you had to pick one or two guys, who's going to be the guys that really fell off the rotation?
Yeah, I definitely, my first guy that I would put on that list is Jalen Gill. I think he's going to be absolutely dynamic. He has the potential to be really, really special in this offense. So, obviously, you mentioned he's an H-back, but he's going to be lined up. He's considered in that zone six wide receiver unit, so I like him. They really like C.J. Saunders. He's kind of the Mr. Reliable. I know there's been some small chatter about he's potentially an NFL free agent type of guy that could end up with the New England Patriots and carve out a niche for himself. That's kind of the mold that a lot of people have compared him to. So I think he's going to be someone that will get some reps. I don't see C.J. Saunders, when it comes to next man up towards that bottom rotation, I don't think he's going to be a guy that just melts away on the bench. And Jalen Harris, I mean, I like Jalen Harris. I know Stanley Jackson, when they had the zone going, was a huge Jalen Harris fan. He told stories countless times about how he went over to practice, and Jalen Harris just had your mouth just hanging on the floor because he was that dynamic. But the problem with is Jalen Harris is not consistent. If he can figure out how to put it all together talent wise, I think he can be a ball player here. But it's just going to be if Hartline can get him developed and if Jalen Harris can put it together as far as, you know, knowing what he's supposed to do as a wide receiver and learning the playbook. So if I had to pick one, it would be Gill and then C.J. Saunders and then Jalen Harris and then Gardner after that.
This was a great discussion here on the Bucknuts Morning 20. J-Book always coming strong. I really appreciate it. He is Jonah Booker. Thank you very much, J-Book, and thanks to all the listeners out there for tuning in to the show. I appreciate it. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend. We'll check out Buckeye Swag, best damn band in the land.
Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.